And so can you talk a little bit, Ben, about what you saw when you came in the room with this man?
Yeah, I think that this is a challenging case because he's gotten several cycles, or 2 to 3 cycles, of gemcitabine. His scans show somewhat of a mixed response. And this is a challenge. I mean, there's a little more fluid in his right lung. There's a new spot, but everything else is kind of stable. So he's got a new lesion. All of his other cancer, including his left kidney, is stable. But he feels okay, but not great. And this is where, again, what do you do with a patient who's now on fourth line treatment, whose scan shows potential progression, where he's kind of on the border of how he feels? And again, Ray and I talked about how difficult these decisions are. We live in the data-free world, or the data-free zone at this point, of what to do in these patients. Do you maybe drain the fluid and continue him on the gemcitabine? Or is this the time where you have to institute a therapeutic switch? Because if you don't, 4 weeks or 6 or 8 weeks from now, it may even be worse and he's feeling lousier. So, you know, I think this was one of the harder cases that we went over, and a difficult one with a patient and a very loving wife, trying to explain to him what we think is going on biologically with the cancer and whether or not Ray wanted to make a change in his therapy or not. So we come into these problems all the time, and it tells you how challenging scans can be coupled with patient's symptoms about what we should do at this point in time, 4 lines down.
If you were going to use another systemic therapy, Ben, what would it be?
So we, I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but we had a conversation. You know, Ray turned to me and said, you know, what would you do here? And I said, you know, you could either continue the gemcitabine, you could switch him to navalbine, which isn't the easiest drug to give. And then Ray said, what about nevo-ipi? You know, this is a patient we didn't talk about his mutational analysis, but as I recall, had a KRAS P53.
That's correct.
And this is a mutational composite that we think there's been some recent data, not ironed out entirely, that co-alterations in KRAS and P53 may be predictive of immunotherapeutic approaches. Now, this patient didn't do well with single agent immunotherapy, so he's clearly, his tumor has defined itself as perhaps immunotherapy resistant, but we are now several lines down the therapy. Is this an opportunity to give him something else like a dual checkpoint blockade? And so I think, I mean, Ray can talk to you about the decision, but I think that's also a possibility for this patient, again, based on very little data, but based also on the fact that he doesn't have many options left.
Do you have a PD-L1 or a TMB analysis on him?
I don't have a TMB. He's PD-L1 negative. Yeah, his PD-L1 is zero.
Would a TMB be of any value, Ben?
I think TMB, this line of 10 mutations per megabase, that may sway me to, if I had a TMB that was higher than 10. I don't routinely use TMB in my patients. We test it in everyone at Hopkins just based on how much immunotherapy trials we're doing. But yeah, at this point, it may sway me, but I would say that if it were less than 10 mutations per megabase, I don't know what more options he has. And he's relatively fit for a guy who has seen just about every single therapy that's known to work in lung cancer. And if we are going to make, or if you're going to make a switch, maybe this is the right time, independent of TMB.
That's really interesting. I think it really supports the whole idea of how much you get at actually seeing a patient. Because I think if somebody were to look at this write-up, or even listen to what you were saying, they'd be going, well, what about hospice? But there must be something about the patient that's telling you no.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that it is. It's incredible. If I saw this on a piece of paper, I would be like, what is this doctor thinking? But this patient's motivated and fit, and the wife is supportive. And we are in the land of no data here. But I think that given the advent of all these newer therapies, and look, I'm the first to say, look, enough is enough. You know, you're not going to drive any meaningful benefit. But for fit, motivated patients who are relatively still have a good quality of life, I think there are options that need to be explored. Not for everybody. I mean, we can't talk about cost here because that's another issue. But for this type of patient, I would have no hesitation.